This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Really reflect a lot of things that took place since November 5th, right? So, Kevin, thank you very much. Great job. Any questions?
Mr. President, how concerned are you that the large-scale federal government layoffs will weaken the labor market? How concerned are you?
The large-scale fentanyl what?
The federal government layoffs will impact the labor market, will weaken the labor market.
Oh. No, I think the labor market's going to be fantastic, but it's going to have high-paying manufacturing jobs as opposed to government jobs. We had too many people in government. You can't just do that. We had many, many too many. This is for 40 years. You know, this isn't just now. This built up and got worse and worse, and they just hire more and more people. You look at Department of Education, it seems like so many buildings I ride by, it says Department of Education. They're all over the place. And we don't even want it. We want the education to be given by the states. It'll be much better. It'll move us to the top of the list from the bottom of the list. And actually save us money. But not, it's too important to even talk about them. It'll save us a lot of money, but we don't want that. We want education to be given. So you go to Iowa and Indiana and Idaho and all these places that are so well run, they're going to be producing education that will be the equivalent of, like, Denmark is one, and Norway, Sweden. Actually, China is one of the better in terms of education, and so we can't blame size anymore. You know, China has 1.4 billion people, but they're very high on their list. The one thing we're doing well on, we're number one on the list, is cost per pupil. We spend more money than any other country in the world by far. So I jokingly say the one thing we do well on is the cost. We spend more money, and yet we're toward the bottom of the list, yeah.
Mr. President, I want to ask you, the joint address, millions of Americans watched your joint address earlier this week, where you warned that there could be a little disturbance that Americans could feel as a function of these taxes, these tariffs. How much disturbance are you willing to accept in the near term as a function of that? And to set expectations, how long should Americans expect things to cost a bit more?
Well, so far, Peter, there hasn't been very much, because these numbers are coming out. We're here for just a little over 4 weeks. And these are fantastic numbers. I was watching some of the reports this morning. They were surprised. There could be some disturbance, a little bit of disturbance. I solved a little bit of that because I have respect for our auto companies. And I gave them a little bit of a one-month reprieve because it was unfair, although I'm sure they'll take advantage of it. I see they're driving a lot of cars into the U.S. to try and avoid the tariffs and, you know, taking advantage of it a little bit. But they called me, they asked me, they said, could they have a little bit of help? And I decided, you know, they're American companies, USMCA, and I let them have that. But this really kicks in, the reciprocals, you know, kicks in on, the second. And I wanted it to be the first so badly, it just didn't want to be on April Fool's Day. So I made it the second. That's going to cost a lot of money. That one day is going to cost a lot of money, but that's okay. But I don't see it. I don't see anything. I see good reports. I think we're going to have good numbers from the beginning. Now, globalists won't love this because this brings jobs back to America. So if they're coming back to America, maybe you'll lose some in other parts of the world. But the other parts of the world have done very well, and they'll continue to do very well. But I think the United States is going to be doing record business. We'll bring a lot of those 90,000 factories that have been lost over the last number of years. It's been, it's hard to believe. 90,000, think of what 90,000 is. 90,000 plants and factories are gone. We're going to bring back many of those plants and factories.
One day the tariffs are on, the next day they're off. Right now the markets, as you know well, prefer stability. Are you done going forward with the pauses and the carve-outs? Is that it for those?
There'll always be changes and adjustments, and you know, you can't just, I could have, for instance, told the American car companies, no, I'm not going to give you anything, and then you wouldn't have had to say, well, they're getting a little extra. It's just a little bit of a one-month reprieve. They're very happy about what's happening. They won't have to go across borders, and you see the zigzag, and you have a fender made in Canada, you have something else made in Mexico. We don't want that. We want it made here. But there'll always be some modifications. I mean, if you have a wall in front of you, sometimes you have to go around the wall instead of through it. But I think very little. I think very little. On occasion, if we can do something, we want to help companies. We want to help companies create jobs. So I could have left that, and you wouldn't have had a minor change. Instead, I was asked by the major, the real majors, the big majors, if they could do this. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. I want you to produce a lot of jobs. And numerous of the people, actually all of the people I spoke to have already been, they're very much on the way to already do it. That's why you have auto jobs increase. And the man, I don't know him, Sean Fain, I don't know him, but, and I did great, as you know, with the auto workers, with the Teamsters, with unions, I did fantastically well. Best numbers ever by a Republican. But, and I have a lot of respect for those people, but Sean Fain, who I don't know, but wasn't a supporter, although the auto workers were big supporters, I watched him last night and he said, Donald Trump is absolutely right on tariffs. He said, what he's doing on tariffs is an incredible thing, and it's about time somebody had the guts to do it, because we're going to save auto manufacturing. And I said to people when I was campaigning, you're going to have so many auto jobs, you're not going to believe what's going to happen. We're going to load up Michigan. I won the state of Michigan, as you know. And part of the reason I won it was I got a lot of auto workers that voted for me, Detroit, et cetera. But I think people are going to be very surprised. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. You mentioned in your remarks chips manufacturing, how a significant percentage is now in Taiwan. You also mentioned it in your address to Congress. And you called on Congress to overturn the CHIPS Act, which had bipartisan support in the last Congress. Why would you like to see this particular law overturned, Mr. President?
Because it's hundreds of billions of dollars and it's just a waste of money. Now, some people have already taken the money and used it. Actually, it's very hard to qualify because they go by race, they go by gender, they go by all sorts of things. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. You won't be able to find those people. So I don't even think anybody can qualify. They have so many different categories in order to qualify. You have to have so many of a certain race, a certain gender, a certain this, a certain, and it's, I don't think they can qualify, but if they take the money, they better qualify because they'll be watching them. But it's a tremendous waste of money. I didn't give the greatest chip company in the world, one of the greatest companies, I didn't give them 10 cents. They came here because of tariffs, because they didn't want to pay the tariffs. And they also came here because they like the results of the election, because they know that I'm very pro-business and pro-jobs. I mean, I'm pro-business, not for business sake. I'm pro-business because of jobs, because business is producing the jobs. Okay?
Russia, if I may, President Putin is bombing Ukraine.
Yeah.
Do you still believe him when he tells you that he wants peace?
Yeah, no, I believe him. I believe him. I think we're doing very well with Russia. But right now they're bombing the hell out of Ukraine, and Ukraine, I'm finding it more difficult, frankly, to deal with Ukraine. And they don't have the cards. They don't have the cards. As you know, we're meeting in Saudi Arabia on sometime next week early. And we're talking, what I find that in terms of getting a final settlement, it may be easier dealing with Russia, which is surprising because they have all the cards. I mean, they're bombing the hell out of them right now. And I put a statement in, a very strong statement. Can't do that. Can't do that.
Mr. President.
We're trying to help them. And Ukraine has to get on the ball and get a job done. Michael, could you come up here? I see Michael back there. Yeah, good. I'm glad. He's traveling all over the world. I just saw him come in the door. Could you give a little definition of what's going on, please?
Sure. Well, the president has been crystal clear, and he's been clear to all sides. The fighting has to stop. Both sides need to get to the table. We had a good engagement. Both leaders have said only President Trump could do so, and only he has been able to do so. We had an initial engagement with the Russians. The Ukrainians had a great opportunity to bind our economies together through that mineral deal. Unfortunately, that didn't go so well, but we think we're going to get things back on track. Secretary Rubio, myself and Ukrainian delegation will be meeting in Saudi Arabia next week to get these talks back on track, get the ceasefire in place, and drive peace home under President Trump's leadership.
I think both parties want to settle. I think if I wasn't president, this war would have had no chance of settlement, zero chance. But I think we're going to get it settled and stopped. We got to stop. They're losing on average 2,000 soldiers a week. That's a lot of soldiers. Do you agree, Peter?
It's a lot of soldiers on both sides. I agree. Do you, Mr. President, think that Vladimir Putin is taking advantage of the U.S. pause right now on intelligence and military aid to Ukraine?
No, I actually think he's doing what anybody else would do. I think he's he wants to get it stopped and settled, and I think he's hitting them harder than he's been hitting them. And I think probably anybody in that position would be doing that right now. He wants to get it ended, and I think Ukraine wants to get it ended, but I don't see, it's crazy. They're taking tremendous punishment. I don't quite get it, but I suspect, Michael, he probably wants to get it ended.
He does, Mr. President. The Russians are taking incredible losses on the front. As the president has said, this is a meat grinder of people, of material, of national treasure, and no one else has any solutions except to let this war continue forever. But I'll add, the president has had multiple conversations and a visit from President Macron of France, Prime Minister Starmer of the United Kingdom. We have the NATO Secretary General coming next week. We have this meeting with the Ukrainians. We've had it with the Russians. All of this in the president's first month and his leadership. We will engage in the shuttle diplomacy, and we will continue to use his leadership and what leverage we have to get both sides of the peace table. It's not going to be easy, but President Trump.
This war should have never happened. It would have never happened if I were president, but it did happen. So a lot of other things shouldn't have happened, too. We shouldn't have 21 million people pouring into our country through open borders, many of whom are criminals, very bad criminals, including murderers, thousands of murderers. Many killed far, far more than one person, and they're roaming our streets. But Tom Holman and Kristi Noem are doing an incredible job, and we're getting them out of here. And we'll get them out. We'll get them all out. But all these things shouldn't have happened. We shouldn't have inflation. We shouldn't have had this horrible inflation where the prices have gone up. Look at eggs. So we're doing a good job. We're doing a good job.
President, in regards to the pause on military assistance to Ukraine, you put out on your social media post today that Russia is pounding Ukraine.
That's right.
Why not provide Ukraine with air defenses? And what happens, Mr. President, when Ukraine runs out of...
Well, because you... Good question. Because I have to know that they want to settle. I don't know that they want to settle. If they don't want to settle, we're out of there. Because we want them to settle. And I'm doing it to stop death, more important than anything else. Secondarily, way down the line is the money. So we're in for $350 billion, and Europe is in for $100 billion. They should be in for the same or more than us. And, you know, I watched over the last week or so what's going on in Europe. This thing could end up in World War III if we don't get it settled. This could really end up in a World War III. We got to get it settled.
So on Iran, how confident are you that the Iranians will negotiate with you? And is Israel on board with this outreach?
Yeah, I saw the hostages the other day. They came in, people that were not young, some young and some older, much older. And they gave, it was hard for them to do it, actually. They gave statements as to what happened. I was asking, what happened? How was it? I said, did you see anybody in there that was kind, like out of the hundreds of people that you were seeing, Hamas? Did some of them wink at you and say, don't worry, you're going to be okay, or give you a piece of bread, or no? I said, were there any people that were, like, kind? I was shocked. The answer was nobody. There was nobody. Just the opposite. They'd be slapped and punched. One man broke his ribs. He couldn't breathe for a month. It was brutal. I was so surprised. Could you think there'd be a couple of people that would be kind that would say, you're going to be okay, but they had none of that. It's pretty amazing. Brian?
Thank you, Mr. President.
He's a kind person.
Well, according to...
Although not to Zelensky, he wasn't.
Well, you know, that's another
but to Trump, he's been good. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
Nice tie, by the way. We coordinated. Two questions. One on peace. Why don't you think any other European countries are offering a peace deal? It seems like no one's come to the table for peace except for you.
Yeah. It's a very good question. Sometimes questions aren't answerable. They're in a very unusual position. They don't know how to end the war. I think I do know how to end the war. Despite the Russia hoax, I've always had a good relationship with Putin. And, you know, he wants to end the war. He wants to end it. And I think he's going to be more generous than he has to be. And that's pretty good. That means a lot of good things. Because frankly, you could have made a great deal if this war never started, you could have made a great deal. I don't know that anything would have had to be given up. This was not a war that was going to start, Brian. And it didn't start. For 4 years, somebody said, well, how do we know that? Well, for 4 years, it didn't start. I used to speak to Vladimir about it. I used to speak to him about it at length. It was the apple of his eye, but there was no way he was going in. And he knew, there were going to be consequences. But it did start. I mean, think of what happened. Inflation, you have the war with Ukraine and Russia, that wouldn't have happened. October 7th would have never happened. Israel, they had no money. Iran had no money. Iran was stone cold broke. And now they have a lot of money. And that's going to be the next thing you'll be talking about is Iran. What's going to happen with Iran? And there'll be some interesting days ahead. That's all I can tell you. You know, we're down to final strokes with Iran. That's going to be an interesting time. And we'll see what happens. But we're down to the final moments. We're at final moments. You can't let them have a nuclear weapon. I think I would have had a deal within 1 month after the rigged election of 2020. They were all set to make a deal. And then when I lost, they saw this person who's a stupid person, very stupid person. And they said, let's not make a deal. And they were right. He took the sanctions off. They became rich under Biden. They went from having no money to having $300 billion. All in a short period. It's oil. Oil builds up fast. It's a nice living if you have a nice oil well. And they do. They have a lot of nice oil wells, right? So it's going to be a big thing. It's an interesting time in the history of the world. But we have a situation with Iran that something's going to happen very soon. Very, very soon. You'll be talking about that pretty soon, I guess. And hopefully we can have a peace deal. You know, I'm not speaking out of strength or weakness. I'm just saying I'd rather see a peace deal than the other. But the other will solve the problem.
Mr. President, your allies are calling on you to pardon Derek Chauvin. Are you considering pardoning Derek Chauvin?
No, I haven't even heard about it. No.
Mr. President, on peace.
I haven't heard that.
In the first term, you may recall, I broke the news that you were nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. And the reason for that was the work that you led on the Abraham Accords. I spoke yesterday with the member of parliament, the Norwegian parliament, that nominated you. And he said, what the Nobel Committee is looking for from you, Mr. President, is security guarantees for Ukraine. Is that a possibility, Mr. President?
So, before I even think about that, I want to settle the war, get it finished. Because if I'm not here, nobody's going to settle it. And President Macron has said that, and every president, everybody said that, the prime ministers and presidents. We're pushing very hard. That's all I'm thinking about now. As far as the question about security later, that's the easy part. The hard part is getting it settled. We got to get them. We're losing 2,000 human beings every week. More than that, actually. 2,000 nice, young, although they're getting older because they're drafting much older now. In the case of one country, much older, because a lot of the young people have been killed. It's very sad, and I'd like to see if I could stop that. And I'd like to also see if we could stop making these massive payments from the United States. I mean, Biden gave away money like it was water, with no anything, got nothing for it. Europe did it in the form of a loan. They get their money back, we don't. So that's how we came up with the rare earth deal. But we started, you know, behind the eight ball. He could have gone to Europe. He could have said, come on, you got to put up money with us. You got to put up money with us. But he never did that. They just kept handing money out because he was grossly incompetent. All right, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, press. Thank you, press.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Look good, Peter.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That just...
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.